What was one common recurring theme? They did that which was right in their own eyes, and what happened? They were in bondage. They had more problems and troubles, and they lived that way for another good 20 years, and then they cried out to God, and God sent them a judge to restore them. And incredible to think through some of that. Well, here we are in the book of Ruth, and what's going on? There was no food, probably one of those dry times spiritually, not just physically, in the lives of those in Israel. As we think about that, Naomi and her husband left. They had their two boys. They left the country. They went to Moab because the grass looked greener on the other side of the fence. And then all of a sudden she's left with nothing. Her husband died. Her two boys got married, and then they died. We know that from the time period that's listed here in the book of Ruth, they lived there at least 10 years. It seems like 10 years even after Elimelech passed away, and just a number of different realities that way. So struggles that Naomi had, man, she's been gone from her people. They didn't have the U.S. post office that delivers mail in 2 or 3 days, wherever it is in that area. They didn't have email and texting. She didn't keep up with the people there. But they knew her well, because at the end of chapter 1, she goes back and they said, "Oh, you are Naomi." And she said, "Don't call me Naomi." Well, here in the midst of all of that is Ruth. And last week when we talked about Ruth, we talked about her commitment, that she was a committed young lady. She was first committed to stay with her husband. Why did he die? I don't know. We don't know if it was some illness. We don't know if it was some tragic accident and it just happened. We don't know. But he left a young widow without any children. She was committed to stay with him during that time. And so I see first her commitment to her marriage. We saw that she was committed to Naomi, her mother-in-law. What love she had for her mother-in-law. Sometimes the jokes are always about the in-laws, right? But here she loved her mother-in-law, and she was committed to her, committed to going back and leaving everything she knew of her country and her fellow countrymen to go back to follow this woman who knew her God. She was committed to stay with the one true God. We saw that she had said at the end of chapter 1, that she would follow her. This God would be her God and her people, and just the commitment to the one true God that Ruth had. We saw that she was courageous. In what ways was Ruth courageous? Okay, so she left her homeland, everything she knew. You know, man, it makes me think of our missionaries. I was talking with Brother Wright. Is it Nathan? And today we were talking, and he left here, and they are serving, Uganda. My mind just went blank. Uganda. They left here to go serve there. Now they came back, and they're back on furlough, raising some more support. And missionaries today, it takes courage to go to these countries, these leave their homeland, even though we have all this video chat and email and all this instant communication that missionaries of yesterday didn't have. It still takes courage. Here, Ruth displays that courage, leaving her homeland and her family. She didn't go back to her mama and her daddy. She said, "No, I'm going with my mother-in-law." Why? You know, it's incredible to think about that. Orpah went back. But Ruth was courageous, I believe, because she saw there was something different about Naomi. Now, Naomi, discouraged, maybe depressed, I don't know what all, but man, she is struggling here. But she knew she was going back to her God and her people. And Ruth, there was something Ruth knew that she said, "That's the God I want. I don't want my false gods." And she was committed. She was courageous. She was consistent. She was consistent in her love for her mother-in-law. We looked at that a little bit in chapter 2. She went back with her, chapter 1. But chapter 2, verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman, or verse 2 we talked about last week. "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter." She is consistent in loving her mother-in-law. She could have said, "Okay, we're here. Now what do? You know everybody. You know how we can get stuff and food and take care of it." Wait a second. She's consistent in her love and in her actions and her responsibilities there. She's consistent in her work. We see that later on in this chapter. I thought I wrote down the verse. There it, yeah, verse 7. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came. These are the workers of Boaz, telling Boaz. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. She is consistent in her work. She learned a strong work ethic. She took care of herself. She was taking care of her mother-in-law. She's thinking of the future. The very last verse of chapter 1 said that when they went to Bethlehem, what time of the year was it? Barley harvest. So, man, just in time to work. I mean, isn't this exciting? And she's going and preparing for the future, because what else do we have? We got to be busy. And so she's consistent in her work. But the point I want us to look at tonight, we talked about committed, courageous, consistent. Tonight I really want us to think about her caring, compassionate aspect. Ruth was compassionate. Compassion is not always easy. Can you think of someone who, man, when you think of them, you think of compassion? Think of anybody like that? Right? I mean, you think about them, it's like, man, I want to be like that person. I just want to have compassion always flow through me. Some people are more naturally compassionate. God gives us all different personalities, and some are more compassionate and caring. I can look at our kids and say, okay, that one is generally more naturally that way. But still, they have to walk with God and take His strength and all those other aspects. But God makes some of us more compassionate naturally. But some of us struggle with that naturally, right? But we still have to walk with God and take His strength and be compassionate. And that's what Ruth is doing here. She's compassionate. Yeah, we don't know what day of the week. We don't know if it was Thursday or what day. But she's compassionate. During this time, she lost her husband. She went to this foreign land, and here she's asking her mother-in-law. Man, we see her, she's compassionate in her speech. Let's start at verse 1 again. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. How does she address her mother-in-law? With compassion. Look at that. And she says, let me now go to the field. Did she have to get permission as a grown lady from her mother-in-law? No, but she's showing her love. She's in her speech. She's compassionate. I'm going to go do this. Tone of voice. I was reading something today. How we communicate today, especially in the United States of America, is so different than it was even 10 years ago. How many of you text on your cell phone? At least once. Okay. How many of you do Facebook? How many? I mean, there's all sorts of these other social media outlets out there. And as we think about that, the article that I was reading challenged us to be oh so careful, because I don't even remember the number, what it was percentage-wise, but so much of our communication is nonverbal. What do we mean when we talk about that? So much of our communication is nonverbal. What does that mean? Okay, so right there, Karen, you did it. Facial expressions, hand motions, and actions, how we do that. Nonverbal communication. Man, I much prefer trying to counsel someone through some struggles and difficulties either over a telephone, even though you can't see the nonverbal, you can hear some of that nonverbal in the voice, than over texting. Yeah, I will challenge people and try to encourage them with texting. I love texting. But there's some things you just can't do over social media or these electronic communications. And this article was challenging us to be oh so careful, because when you don't hear the inflection, when you don't see the compassion on the face, it's not always received that way. Sorry. What does it mean when you text or type an email in all capital letters? You're yelling at them. Now, my aunt did it. It does. Yeah. So don't do it to your son anymore, Jimmy. So my aunt did that one time at work to a fellow employee. And this girl that she worked with got offended. She said, don't yell at me. And my aunt's like, what did I do? And so our nonverbal communication is so huge. And so often the electronic communication can be misunderstood or misinterpreted. So being careful with that. But really we see Ruth was compassionate in her speech. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. So she's compassionate in her speech. Some interesting side notes about it. So much that we can grasp from the book of Ruth. Really, we could study this book for a year. We don't have the time to do that. In fact, it's kind of going to be one of our longer book studies here this year and being fruitful. But as we look at this, it says, she says, let me now go to how many fields or whose field? The field. And it's interesting to think about just some of the realities of how some of the fields were outside of the city limits. There were boundaries marked in the field of this is his and this is his. And so she's going to the field that this stuff is grown in so that she can see, hey, who can I glean from? And yes, there's the reality of gleaning. We saw in her speech she was compassionate towards her mother-in-law. Really, we see that not just towards her mother-in-law, but continue reading on. Verse 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. So again, you see there's multiple people's property on this field. And when she went, she was on Boaz's part. And it says, who was the kindred of Elimelech? It wasn't by chance, though, was it? It wasn't a coincidence. God was in control. Incredible to watch that. Verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Reaping or gleaning in the field was part of Jewish culture that God had set in motion. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19 real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19. And God said in the law, when thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the fatherless and for the widow. Now, who was the widow in this instance here? Ruth and Naomi as well, but Ruth is the one gleaning. And not only is she a widow, what else is she? She's a stranger. She's from Moab. She's a stranger. God had compassion even on the strangers. And man, on a side note, we can have compassion on the strangers in our country too. The minorities, other, I mean, man, let's show compassion. And so anyway, here they said to leave it, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. And that was gleaning. Leave some of that behind so they can gather it and eat. That was their welfare. Was it? And some people say, well, look, that's why we as a government should hand out everything. Wait a second. Who is doing this? The individuals. It wasn't state run. God told the individuals to do this. And so, oh, that we would be compassionate towards others amongst us. Excuse me. So we see she was compassionate in her speech, and then in her actions here as she's going to glean for her mother-in-law. But again, we see her speech. Verse 6, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Everybody knew who she was in Bethlehem, no doubt. But he said, this is who she is. And she said, I pray you, look what she says to him. I pray you. She's not praying to him, but beseeching him, asking him, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth. Now he went to Ruth, and he's talking. So Ruth, she's compassionate in her speech. So tomorrow, if you and I are going to be fruitful, what do we need to be compassionate in? Speech. Do you think Bill would have had the opportunity to talk to Andrew, correct? If he wasn't compassionate in his speech towards Andrew? No, Andrew wouldn't have given him the time of day. Oh, let's be fruitful by being compassionate in our speech tomorrow. But also being compassionate in our actions. Here she was compassionate to her mother-in-law by going to the field to do what? Not to party, not to go to the store and just window shop. She's going to do hard work in the heat of the day with nobody she really knows. That's compassion. Let's be compassionate first towards those in our household. You know, sometimes it's the hardest to be compassionate to those we live with. At times it's real easy because, man, we love our spouse or others that God has put in our lives. But what can be tough? Because we just take for granted that they know us and love us. And so that's who we're sometimes not compassionate in our speech towards. That's sometimes who, go get it yourself. Compassionate in our actions. She's compassionate towards her mother-in-law. And really compassionate, she shows that in her respect towards Boaz. Verse 8, Boaz said unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. You stay here, we'll take care of you. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." We'll talk about Boaz, but what do we see in him as well? Compassion, and that compassion in him. Verse 10, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband." He said, "I know your compassion. I've seen it. Or I've seen of it, heard of it. And how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And we can continue on. Man, just incredible, her compassion. If you and I are going to be fruitful this week, what do we need to show others? So let's do it tomorrow. Jimmy.
I was thinking, you know, not only to accept
them,
but to drink after
a water. Yeah. So providing even the drinking, the water. And yeah, so taking care of her in that aspect, compassion. So think about tomorrow. You know what's coming. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's a certain situation. You don't know all the situations that are coming tomorrow. I know. But as you think about it, in what ways can you show compassion tomorrow? Maybe it's to someone in your household, your spouse. Maybe it's to kids. Maybe they're grown up and out of the house. Others. How can you show compassion tomorrow? So let's be fruitful and do it. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be compassionate. Help us to follow, as Ruth did, following you with compassion. Help us to be fruitful in that way tomorrow. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Let's be compassionate.